Bless you, my brother.
Thank you, Pastor Glover. Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm telling you, huh? Woo, glory to God. Usually on special occasions and days like Easter and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas, and the church tends to be a little subdued, but it ain't the case here today. This is not normal church, because I'm not in a normal church. Y'all missed that. That's a good place to shout. Y'all totally missed that. Woo, glory to God. Well, man, I know it's late. It ain't late for me, because I'm a preacher. I can preach morning, noon, and night. Hallelujah. Amen. All the mothers today, amen. Praise God. All the moms, amen. My wife's a grandma, grandpa, and we're moms and dads to a whole lot of nieces and nephews. Don't ever be ashamed, brothers, of your kids. Amen. Whether you have them with you now, or whether you lost them for some reason or another, or whether they're not here, or whether they're growing in merit, you're still a mother. You're still a mother, and you got to be proud of that. Don't ever be ashamed. The German, you bore that kid. You bore, and if he's adopted, you raised that kid. Never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Moms are cool. They're smart. Something they're smarter than us husbands. Well, don't look at your spouse right now. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. Thank you, Pastor and Sister Glover, man. Great hospitality every time we come to Sterling. We've had a great time, man. Wow. You never know what God's going to do, especially on Friday night. My wife told me, you nervous coming on Friday night? I said, I am so nervous. I know the message, but I have no idea, because the Lord doesn't show me what he's going to do after the service. But I always ask the Lord, said the Glover, for a key. One individual, he's never failed me yet. And it happened again Friday night. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess it's for us. Huh? Even you, Brother Glover, brother. Man, I still get butterflies every time I minister the word. The day I'm not nervous and get butterflies, I think I'll hang them up. But not today. Brother Glover. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. Hallelujah. One verse of scripture. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, that's the key, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. Watch this. And the disciples to the multitude. You got to catch this thing. He looked up to heaven. He blessed. He broke. Wow. Gave the loaves to the disciples to the multitude. For one little cat. One little guy. It's amazing, because this story, I guess it's so important, Brother Mike, that it is mentioned in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I was doing some more studying, and I said, wow, this is very important. So I want to talk to you on the subject. He is maximizing my life. You're going to get it here in a minute. He's maximizing my life. Pastor, would you bless the word, sir?
Our Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful presence, your powerful presence. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. Minister now, God, through your word to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. Bless us, God, in your presence. Change us, Lord, to be more like you. And we thank you, God, for Brother Lamas. Anoint him powerfully, we ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated this afternoon now in the presence of the King. Man, God. I'm going to leave my tie on today. I used to take it off, Brother Jeff, but I'm going to go ahead and leave it on, because you're in my honor, and I'm in your honor today. Long ties. I just... that in for free here before we get serious here. He's maximizing my life. The story that we just read, folks, it's one of them. It's a familiar story. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 men plus women and children. When this miracle, woo, Jesus help me. When this miracle took place in the life of Jesus, of the 34 recorded miracles of Jesus Christ, this one miracle, unlike any other miracle, takes place on the heels of a personal tragedy within the life of Jesus Christ. In fact, verse 10 of this text, we discover that Jesus Christ's cousin, John the Baptist, had an interaction with a man by the name of King Herod. And as you know the story, John came out of that exchange beheaded. And the news had reached Jesus Christ. And right before our text commences, Jesus being both human and divine, watch this, is grieving over the loss of his cousin and the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. So when you stop and think about the timing of this miracle, we would say, man, that's wrong. But it's not the truth. We must point out that the timing of this miracle is linked to a personal tragedy in the life of the Lord. And this miracle we hear, we read, unlike the other 34 miracles of Jesus Christ, is linked to a moment of misery within the life of the Master. This is significant, Sterling. And what's impressive is that this miracle, you got to, because you got to read the whole chapter. Some of the other gospels extend it and they go into other stories. But in Matthew here, watch this here. Amen. This miracle takes place despite him going through one of the most difficult times in his personal life. Yeah. And what impresses me about Jesus Christ in this narrative is that he's still able to put this personal pain, Brother Ingalls, on pause and still perform the miracle. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'll say it again, despite going through one of the most difficult times in his life and seasons and moments in his life, Jesus, in spite of his personal pain, is still able to perform. I want to suggest to some people in this house right now that you really need to pat yourself on the back for being here today, because of all the trouble and all the pain and all the heartache and all the drama and you may have to go through on a daily basis. You ought to thank God that you're here and you're still able to perform praise worship. You're still able. And I guess that's a comment. There's the difference between being a strong Christian and a weak Christian. And we all go through trials and tribulations. That's why I believe some people, despite of what they're going through, are still in the house of God. Because it could have destroyed others. And they don't want to come back to the house of God, Brother Michael, no more. Well, if Jesus is Jesus, dude, the Bible says it rains on the just and unjust. Don't you get it yet? He's trying to maximize your life. So don't park. I think I said it the other night. Don't park yourself on your last victory. Get ready for the next challenge. Watch this. He's able to go despite being in misery himself. Well, he's human and divine here. And he is at a loss because John, his cousin, is gone. Huh? I like that church because oftentimes what God does, oh, you got to help me here, Lord, is he allows our ministry to be born out of misery. Sometimes God will use our pain as a platform for our ministry. God will take something that you're going through. God will take something that's literally bringing you to a breaking point, and God will use that issue to be a launching pad for your personal ministry. Hallelujah. I may be talking to some folk here today. You're scratching your head like I do sometimes. Why does it seem like you're picking on me, God? I'm a preacher, man. I'm supposed to be on the cloud. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a worshiper. I'm a musician. I'm a singer. I'm an altar worker. I just come to church. Why are you picking on me? You feel like that? Why does it seem like sometimes I'm drinking tears for water? If you ain't ever drank tears for water, I believe this is a good day. Big shot.
Yeah, there you go. I'll agree with you.
Thank you. Yeah. One. Oh, everyone's like, okay, booger. Hear me out now. Hear me too. Oh, we have church now. Watch this. Why does it seem that if I'm going to problem after problem, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, problem after problem, trial after trial, maybe God is using your mayhem as a platform for what God wants you to do. When I look at this text, Brother Mike Glover, in order for Jesus to perform this particular miracle, what the Lord has to do is that he has to maximize the meal. Two fish, five loaves. You know the story. 5,000 men, including women and children. He has to maximize what's the meal. What's this? What the Lord does to maximize this meal is the same thing that the Lord does to maximize our lives. Because contrary to popular belief, God wants to stretch you. I knew I'm going to go get a lot of amens on that one. I knew we ain't going to get the boogers to shout here like a while ago. Yeah. Yeah. He wants to stretch here. Yeah. Oh, you want the blessing, don't you? Yeah. You want the favor of God, don't you? Uh-huh. Huh? You want money in your pocket, huh? Yeah. You want a good job. You want a good business. You want a good ministry. But nobody wants to be stretched. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Uh-huh. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Why? Because God desires to maximize you. There is a, you know why? There is a better inside of you this morning. Yeah. And oftentimes, in order to get the best of you, he has to put you through something just to get the better praise out of you. Yeah. That regardless of how much you praise God, there's a better praiser in you. Regardless of how much you worship, I want to suggest to you today, there is a better worshiper in you. But in order to get the best out of you, God has to maximize your life. I've said the story before, but I got so many stories of my childhood of ice cream. You know, I said some here, I think it was at a rally, I appreciate last year, but I thought about some more, Sister Glover. I had so many fond memories of the ice cream truck coming through second morning, Houston, Texas, down to the ghetto. And not to River Oaks or Memorial, where the rich cats are at, but they came to the ghetto. Because they would make more money out of it. But they would have to dig deeper. But I remember as a 9, 10, 11-year-old guy, I would hear the ice cream truck. And I would go running inside the house to get my piggy bank. The kind that breaks. Not this modern technology piggy bank we have now. The old-fashioned kind. Brother Alex, I had to turn it upside down. I had to turn it upside down and shake it. I wanted that ice cream sandwich. Not this artificial stuff. I wanted that dreamsicle. Not Blue Bunny. I wanted Bluebell. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm making fun of that stuff. Okay, hear me out. How did I know that I had enough money in the piggy bank? Because I put some in there, and I knew my grandma and mama put some in there. And, the bell's going, and there's a little sound of music coming from the ice cream truck. It's 2-3 blocks away. I can hear it. See, some of us, when we come to church, we only hear what we want to hear, and we throw the rest out. That's how come you're in the shape you're in spiritually. Well, don't shut me down when I'm getting in your study. So I'm shaking it. And I'm not going to stop shaking it, ladies and gentlemen, until I get out of it everything I put in it. Oftentimes, God will shake us up because God knows what he puts inside of you. And it's not going to stop bugging you. It's not going to stop bothering you. It's not going to stop shaking you. It's not going to stop waking you up in the morning. God is not going to leave you alone until he gets out everything he put inside of you. Look at the text. I discovered that the Lord does several things in this one verse. To maximize the meal, watch this. First thing he does is in verse 19 is that the Lord blessed the bread. The Bible says in verse 19 that Jesus looks up to heaven and blesses the bread. Jesus also commanded the people to sit down on the grass. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Looks up to heaven, blesses the grass. And according to Matthew chapter 14, watch this. According to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, we are not told what kind of bread it is. But if you go to John chapter number 6 and verse number 9, it teaches us that the bread Jesus blessed is barley bread. I wonder how can he just put that word in there. Here's, and I'm getting to it. I put emphasis on the fact, folks, that the bread was barley bread because, as many of you know, barley bread was the cheapest grain there was. Barley bread was the kind of bread that poor people ate. Barley bread was considered what most people would call low budget bread. Whenever you wanted to convey how people were, like in my house sometimes, we would say, I'm so poor, I barely have enough barley bread. And some would say, I ain't got no barley bread. Barley bread was the kind of bread that rich people wouldn't eat. The people in Second Ward, Fourth Ward, Fifth Ward in Houston, Magnolia, Northside, Denver Harbor, East End, we would eat the kind of bread. But the people in River Oaks and Memorial in Houston, the rich areas at that time, Westbury, Bel Air, they would go and they would buy rainbow bread and Mrs. Bear's bread and Wonder Bread. And we would go to the store, and maybe even now, we'd go to Walmart and we'd say, ooh, that's too high, that's too high. Oh, this is called sandwich bread, but ain't got no name. I think they finally get what I'm trying to talk about here. Come on now. Back home, it's cheap. It's about 85 or 89 cents a loaf, you know. And so sometimes we would buy that bread. But when you get home, I put mine in the toaster because when I get it out, all the crumbs started crying. The bread tears in half. That's barley bread. It don't do that with rainbow. It don't do that with Mrs. Bear's bread. It doesn't do that with Wonder Bread or the other kind of bread. And sure, don't do that with your bread, sister. Glory. That's some rich bread. Because we're rich Pentecostals in the Holy Ghost. I love that bread. But hey, you are her. We ain't got no barley bread, baby. No barley bread. We got some real stuff. But the Walmart brand, nothing wrong with it, but I'm trying to make a point. Yeah. You get it? And my daughter makes fun of me. Sometimes we get low on money. She said, "Dad, why don't you buy rainbow bread?" She said, maybe next time. She said, "This book is starting to crumble. I took it out of the package." Nothing wrong with that. But watch what I'm trying to say. So it's barley bread. It was the cheapest grain that there was. Yeah. Rich people today won't eat it. At least not in Houston, Texas, they won't. Because I used to work for some multimillionaires, and they wouldn't touch it. They would go to the best stores in Houston and buy the best thing. Yeah. It was the kind of bread that was reserved for poor people and livestock. In Houston, we have the Houston Livestock and Rodeo, one of the biggest rodeos in the country. And they feed them barley bread. The Bible teaches us. Oh, I'm going to show you in the scripture. The Bible teaches us, and then we'll get to preaching. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26 and 28, that Solomon fed his 40,000 horses barley bread. Hold on, because I'm going somewhere. Cheap, low budget. The kind of bread that was worthless. And I thought about maybe in our lives. He takes something worthless. He takes something, Sister Walker, that's low budget. He takes something that's cheap. He takes something of poor quality, like llamas. And the text says, he looks up to heaven and he blesses bad bread. See, some of that went right over your head because some of you have been good all your life. I'm talking to people here today that can look over your life and discover there have been times when the grains of your life were of low quality. I'm talking to people right now that can look back over your life before you were born again. You ought to give God some crazy praise that God still blesses bad bread. God still blesses bad bread. You ought to thank God that God can still lay his hands, not on something that's just worthy of rich people, but God can bless something that common people can use. God still blesses low budget bread. I knew that wasn't going to have everybody shout. I'm talking to somebody here tonight that's still a work in progress. Somebody today that's still struggling with some areas in your life. You still have some issues. You don't doubt every I and you don't cross every T. I'm talking to somebody here today that sometimes wrestles with the flesh. The good news is you don't have to wait till you're perfect. You don't have to wait till you have it all together. You don't have to wait till you're perfect. I'm so tired of hearing that dumb excuse. Well, till I get all myself together. Till I get all my perfect. No. You take the moment and you make it perfect. There's your answer right there. There's your answer right there. Come on now. He looks up to heaven. He takes something that's almost worthless and he blesses it. The Greek meaning here when he says he blesses it is he speaks well of bad bread. He looks up to heaven, brother Mike, and says something good about bad bread. Just to take something that's cheap, almost worthless, like llamas here. Amen. He takes something that regular folk wouldn't eat. He takes something that's reserved for animals and livestock. Folks, you cannot get mad at bad bread being blessed. The bread didn't ask to be blessed. Jesus took the bread and blessed it. The bread, ladies and gentlemen, was at the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time. Right now, this place, this service, this pastor, the ministry, Sterling Pentecostal Church has been ordained for you. And because the bread didn't have to be blessed, Brother Mike, the bread didn't have to justify. How'd you get that blessing? Why'd you get that position in your job? Why'd you get lifted up? I know I'm not deserving. I know I'm not worthy. That's why I praise him like I do, folks. Because I ain't got no business being in Alaska. I ain't got no business being in Alaska. All I did was read about it and going to school. Alaska, Alaska, Alaska. All I knew was Anchorage and Fairbanks. That's all I knew. Nothing about Sterling, nothing about Kenai, nothing about Sadbatna, nothing about Ketchikan. And it took me about 6 months to say the word Ketchikan. But he blessed Sister Glover. Because of our obedience. He blesses a cat from the ghetto. Smoking joints and cigarettes and marijuana and acid and yellow jackets and black mollies and speed. And but he blessed Badbury when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Most of you know the story. Baptized in Jesus' name. And I became rainbow bread. See, I became Mrs. Bradbury. I became Wonder Bread. Ain't that right, Superman? Ain't that right, Flash? Ain't that right, Bubble Guy? Come on now. And ain't that right, Crazy Mike? Come on now. Watch this. And I got to move on. Don't get nervous on me here today. I know Mama's got some stuff. You got to hear me out. That's why I like to praise. That's why these people praise. Went out of the box today. Because there's no kind of praise that can come from my mouth of a person that doesn't deserve to be blessed. Come on now. I want to suggest to you, in order for the Lord to maximize your life, he does the same thing to you and I. The Lord blesses us. He gives us unmerited favor. And don't fool yourself here today. Favor is better than money. Don't fool yourself. Favor will take you farther than your vehicle in the driveway. Favor will open up more doors for you than the keys in your pocket. Favor will give you jobs and businesses your background didn't qualify you for. Favor will take you places that an aircraft can't take you. Come on now. Favor will cause a person with a GED to become a CEO. Come on. Come on. It should be told. Alice ain't got no business with that hot dog cart. I ain't got no business with it. Some of you ain't going to be having that job. That position. Who called you into ministry, boy? Do you deserve it? It was better than favor. Sure, the board had to approve it. But it was better than favor. He blessed.
All right.
Oh, come on, folks. Come on. Come on. After he broke the bread, the same bread that he blessed, he turns around and he broke it. Second thing, blessed and then broke. Why not broken and blessed? He blessed and then he breaked. That the blessing on the bread couldn't stop the breaking of the bread. That as blessed as the bread was, Jesus still took it upon himself to break what he had just blessed. If the Lord blessed the bread and turned around and broke the bread, it means that the bread went into the breaking process already blessed. See, some of you with your 4 degrees of doctors and masters and all, you don't understand this stuff. Oh, that's good, but it's more than intellect.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Can I explain to you what I still have joy today, and you people have joy? We talked about it here today. After everything you've gone through, can I explain why you haven't thrown in the towel? Why you still got good praise through all the trouble you've been through? Before he broke you, he blessed you.
Yes. All right.
Woo! Verse 19. He didn't just break the bread, but he broke it at a specific time. You ought to praise God because he knows when to break you. He broke you after you got saved. He broke you after you got into ministry. Oh, come on, folks. He knew exactly when to break you because truth be told, if he'd have broke you at the wrong time, you would have never bounced back. You have never survived a breakup. See, some of you still sitting all calm, cool, and collected. But some of you people still own a crazy praise to God. The Bible says that he broke the bread, 5,000 men, not including women and children, 12 disciples, but he broke the bread. That all of the people that could have broke the bread, the text says Jesus broken. What am I saying? If I have to be broke, I want the Lord to break me. You might ask, why, Lamas, do you want to be broken? In order for the bread to be broken, the Lord had to put his hands on it. There were no sliding boards at that time, Brother Mike. No knives. So in order for the Lord to break the bread, the Lord literally had to put his hands on the bread. Am I right? Read the story. I'm talking to some of you here. The safest place for you to be right now in this whole wide world is in the hands of the Lord and in this church. Why? That means nobody else can put their hands on me. Because when you look back over your life, the fact is the Lord has had his hand on your life. The Lord has had his hand on your life. The Lord has had his hand on your life. I'll tell you this, that the boy's mother was the first hands that touched the bread. Yeah, a mama. Oh, I don't know if they had Mother's Day back then, and Sister Clover, but mama was the first one. Because regardless of how some of our kids treat us, or some of the Christians treat your mothers, guess what? You kids need to listen, whether you're married or not married. Guess what? Your mom and dad, they're still there for you. Don't be ugly. You call them. You visit them. Don't be ugly. They're poor you. My mom lives in another state. I can't see her like I used to see her. You know, we used to live in Houston. Amen. But hopefully before we go back home, we're going to go to school. We're going to go see the mama. Cost me a little bit more money, but what's that, Brother Glory? What's that, Brother Jeff? Mama's almost 90 years old. Don't know if she'll leave another mother's there. Well, I already talked to her. We sent her cards. I sent her a little bit of money. Yeah. Even though when I was growing up, guess what? She had a credit line of $50,000. Raised up 3 kids. My grandma lived with us. Yeah. $10,000 credit line here, $10,000 here. Never had a driver's license, but she bought my first car, my sister's first car, and many things after that with her signature. Because us kids, sometimes we get stupid. You know, we do, until we can get back on our feet. Nothing wrong with that. But we come to mom and daddy after we done cussed them out Anybody want to be reheared? But you know what? One of these days, when you get married, you're going to have kids. You're going to have kids. Yeah. I'll tell you what. The mama was the first to touch the bread. After the lady touched the bread, the boy touched the bread. Yeah. After the lad touched the bread, I'm going to find out the leaders touched the bread. Then the Lord touched the bread. But when the bread was in the lady's hands, it was only enough for the boy, right? He must have been like Aaron. He ate a whole lot. Because that lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's just enough for Aaron. That's the big lunch for a boy. A young boy. But me and Mike, you know, we probably eat 14 tacos apiece. When I was big, girl, and younger, I ate 11 pieces of fried chicken at a time. So I can relate to this story, Mike. I can relate to this story right here. Come on now. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. But when the same bread got in the Lord's hands,
all right.
He changed it, then he started to maximize it. Come on, I'm going somewhere. In other words, praise God that he has kept you up until this point. I want to suggest that in order for the Lord to maximize your life, not only must the Lord bless you, but he got to break you. You can't get out of being broken, no matter how hard you try. That's why he blessed you. He blessed you because he had plans to break you. But the good news is, if he breaks you, he has plans to put you back together. He blessed, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples. I got to go, I know. I'm trying to rush. I shouldn't, but I'm trying to. And to the disciples, and then to the multitude. Don't miss that order. He blessed the bread. He turned it around. Broke the bread that he blessed. After he broke it, he gave the bread out. Boom, 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 boom. I want to suggest that the reason why Jesus takes the time to break the bread is because somebody here today needs to benefit from the broken pieces. 5,000 men and women and children. I don't know what 15,000 some say. Some say 20,000. Some say 25,000. There's still a whole lot of people. Okay? Everybody's hungry. Jesus designed the broken bread to benefit those who were there. This service is designed for you to benefit you. You. Me. You. Don't ever miss a word that's coming from the pulpit. It's designed for you. The bread had to be broken. Watch this. Let me go a little further. Because I talked about you. Now watch this. The bread was also broken because somebody else besides you, big shot, had the benefit from the bread. The bread could not stay in the lunch bag. Why? Because the boy didn't know, but why? Because too many people were depending on it. Huh? Come on now. I'm talking to someone right now that may be questioning the breaking process. They say, Lord, why am I being broken at my home, in my body, and my job? Why are things happening to my family, my home, my finances, my career, my business, my job? I come to tell you that you have someone in your life other than yourself that is depending on the broken pieces. It's not just for you, folks. There's somebody in your circle, whoever it may be, on your job, in your business, in your family, other than you, that has to benefit from your brokenness, because brokenness is not just for you. Your brokenness is for someone else. There's somebody. Even in the church right now, or when you leave, there's somebody that is looking at your brokenness. Don't you get it? On this wonderful Mother's Day. You need to know, if God can break them, and you can still come to church, and you can shout, and you can dance, and if God can still break them, and you can still give God a crazy praise, and they can worship God in the midst of what they're going through, surely I can go through the storm. Surely I can go through the rain. Somebody out of the sound of my voice who needs to start asking God, stop asking God why you broke me, and start thanking God because you were broken. Why? Because there's a testimony kind of coming out of it. There's a book that's going to be written about it. Because your praise has been born out of your brokenness. Your worship has been born out of your brokenness. Your ministry has been born out of your brokenness. Now, because you're broken, when you come to church, you don't need somebody to pray you happy. You don't need somebody to sing you happy. You don't need anybody to preach you happy because you've been broken. When you come to church, all you think about is, golly, you've been so good to me. Wow, Lord, you've been so good to me. Wow, God, you've been so good to me. Oh, Lord, you've been so good. And the boy did not question. We were done. That's mine, 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 mine. I. Get your mother a Mother's Day card. Get your mother a gift card. Yeah. Take her out to eat in the next 2-3 weeks. All right. I.
Come on now.
Man. Come on, your husbands. All you do, some of you and some of you guys, all you do is buy games for yourself. You like to hunt, you like to fish. What the wife get? What does mama get? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got kind of quiet, not didn't it? Uh-huh. Nothing wrong with that stuff. But this ain't Father's Day. Oh, your day's coming. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Give me just a few more minutes. A few more minutes. Somebody here, when you walk in, somebody's looking at your brokenness. Why they in church on Mother's Day here today? They ain't got no business being here, Sister Girl. They ain't got no business being here. Why are they here today? Look at all the stuff they... Huh? I thank God for the brokenness. Jesus was broken on Calvary. His hands were broken by the nails. Don't you get it? His side was broken by the spear. His head was broken by the crown. But I thank God I'm blessed because of the breaking. He died, got up on the third morning. I have the right to the tree of life today. Do you, have you been born again today? Through all the trials in our life. Through all the tears and all the years that I've gone through all kinds of crazy stuff. It was not just for Fernando Lamas. Somebody within my circle had the benefit from my brokenness. That's why you allow the Lord to maximize your life. Quit being selfish. I'm not saying you are, because I don't know who I'm talking to. And you want the gifts, but not the giver. You want the blessings, but not the blessor. You want the, huh? This is what makes me, crazy. 12 baskets. This is the best part. 12 baskets. Was one young man. Sister Group was not selfish. The Bible doesn't say it, but in my personal opinion, don't go home and post on Facebook, Lama said the Bible said, because you're lying. In my personal opinion, John, it's mine, not the Bible. The Bible doesn't say it. At the end of the story, in my personal opinion, it could have gone, but it didn't. 12 baskets to each disciple. Right? Could have. I believe. I want to think about all the people that have blessed us through the years. Not all rosy, but we're still married here today. Yeah. I believe. I thought about the story. Sister Walker, I believe that they gave the boy 12 baskets. when I was growing up, there's no money for gifts, but we had the Goodfellas, and they brought us the Christmas presents. But thank God we're past that. But what's the story? I believe, Brother Glover, he maximized the boy's life. And he took all that. Maybe he had to have some help, Brother Greg. He took all that. And he went home, maybe on Mother's Day, on Mama. And he said, "Mama, look what I brought back home." Because he obeyed. I didn't know he knew who Jesus was or not, Brother Glover. Maybe you can, Bible scholars can help me out on that.
I don't know.
When the story began here, I've read all four Gospels. He just obeyed. Wow. Maybe she didn't have anything to eat. She gave the boy, "Go on, son." I know how it is because even with my grandkid or my daughter or my son, sometimes when we don't have enough to go over, guess what? We'll make sure the kids are fed before we eat. Even if it's just a sandwich. Grandkids, kids, whatever it is. You know. Let's stand. He maximized, Sister Hunt. Wow. He maximized. The boy. Guess what? Sooner or later, Mrs. Devin, because of your brokenness, somebody else is going to get saved. Somebody else is going to get healed. Because of your brokenness, Sister Via, somebody else is going to get delivered. For your brokenness, my brother, somebody else is going to be free of disease. Brother, Sister Walker, somebody else is going to, they're looking at your brokenness, somebody else is going to benefit from what you have been. Brother Adams, Sophia, Sterling Church, the Clovers, Parlets. Somebody up, Holly. You know, but why? And I'm close. Why she up here? Sitting on that chair. Picking better hall. I guarantee you, Sister Holly, you might not ever know it. And it's streaming, right? Somebody out there is gonna benefit from your brokenness. I feel, boy. I feel that, Sister. Somebody, Sister Glover, you up here, and whoever's watching, and all the views you get, they said, look what you. Somebody can benefit from your brokenness. Wow. On this great Mother's Day, and up and up with a great church, if you can just, for the next few moments, come and let the Lord maximize your life and say, "Lord, there are places in my life that I need to be broken, but if as long as your hands are on it, it's going to be all right." Would you come? Sterling Church, whoever it is, I don't know who I'm talking to here this morning. God is gonna make sure that somebody is gonna benefit from your brokenness. Not only will He bless you, but He's gonna bless those that also, Pastor. Come on, look at Sterling Church. Come on. Somebody's gonna benefit from Sterling Church. Oh yes, it is. Could be a next CEO, could be the next Dick this year. Doesn't make no difference. Oh, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. I know this is the great Mother's Day way to end the service. He's maximizing your life, folks. Let's start praying. Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another. I think this is a good time.